This week they go back to Palm Beach Central, a team that they beat last year. We had an opportunity to go to that game, exciting game down the end. And Coach Rakovich joins us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time, and congratulations on that opening win.
Hey, thanks for having me, Blue. I really appreciate it. And, yeah, that was an exciting football game.
Yeah, go back to now. You come out of this district that's very competitive. We've seen it now with three teams that, and Miramar this year in the rebuilding phase as well, and a good Plantation team that you beat as well. You guys have had one of those teams that has just gotten better and better throughout the season. And as we look back at the Dillard game, Dillard wasn't a bad team at all.
No, Dillard was a good football team, and you know, at the end of the day, you know, we are underdogs. We kind of embrace that, you know, that blue collar mentality, that Davey Strong thing. We talk about being giant killers, but if you really look at it, we went toe to toe with Palmetto, who everybody knew was a good football team coming in. They scored with 40 seconds left in the kickoff classic, or we shut them out. We're the only team that didn't allow Plantation a rushing touchdown all year. And, you know, the Miramar game, quite frankly, and not to take any credit away from them, had much more to do with injuries with what happened to us in the second half. We were in our third team center. We were up 17-0. We lost our one technique, our will linebacker. We went in without AC, and our starting center goes down, and our second team center was suspended for disciplinary reasons, and my quarterback was playing shortstop the whole second half of the game, and we still went to overtime with them. So, but at the end of the day, you know, Atlantic in some polls was the number three team in the state in 8A. They went all the way to the state championship last year. And, you know, their offensive coordinator had worked with Guandola, and he told one of my assistants that by far the best defense they faced all year, and they played, you know, some pretty damn good football teams from Dwyer to Palm Bay to Central. So, you know, they were scoring 30-plus on everybody. So we've done some good things, and we've done it with, like I said, not necessarily. We have some darn good athletes. Jesse's special, obviously. Miles Wilson's special. But we also do it with some guys that are more, you know, hard worker grinders, not the five-star guys that some of these people have.
You know, Coach, also defense is what your program has really become about. I mean, you've been a really, really sound defensive program the last couple of years. We watch you in your spring game, and you had said at the time, you know, we're going to be so far advanced defensively because we've got a lot, you know, we've got a lot of holes to fill on the offensive line and a few other places.
Right.
You guys have kind of even things up because your offense is putting some points on the board. You put 21 last week. You've had an opportunity to score against some really good defenses. How has that offense come along? Because I see a lot of progress.
Well, I'll tell you what. Jesse Rivera is as good as it gets. He's got a 138 QBR rating. He's thrown for 2,000 yards. If you count, you know, the kickoff classic, he went 10 games without throwing an interception. His first interception of the season was off a tip ball in the end zone that actually hit our wideout's hands first against Miramar. Could have been a touchdown. So he threw 22 touchdowns and one interception in the regular season, and rushed for another two. So, you know, it's hard to play quarterback at any level better than that kid's playing right now. But we've had to overcome some things. You know, you're someone, and you know the kids in South Florida better than anybody, and you're one of the people that actually knew who Alan Crawford was before he started blowing up this year. He was averaging two touchdowns a game and 148 yards of production for me through first seven games of the season, and we lost him.
Yeah.
And,
no,
you know, that's... And we found a way to overcome that. So, you know, we've got, you know, Danny Panchukin and Gator Shamar Wright at wideout have really stepped up in the second half of the season. And big Jarrett Hampton, our fullback, had to take over AC's role. You know, we're not as deep as some of these, you know, the St. Thomases and some of these people of the world that just have guy after guy. So the guy that was my fullback and doing a great job had to step in and be my feature back. And, he's really battling and doing some great stuff for us. And the old line, like you said, you know, we lost a bunch of guys, but this unit of kids, they're scrappy. And my center, you know, Pat Grillo, Kentucky, he's a bad dude. And we've talked a little bit before about Ricky Williams. Obviously, the guy that sticks out to a lot of people is big Jack Thibodeau because, you know, he's you know, 6'6",
he's big,
320
yeah.
pounds.
You know? Yeah. He's a big guy.
Hey. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, but, you know, you, as we're speaking with Adam Rakovich, head coach at Western, also you take a look at this week's game. We visited this last year, a well-coached team. Palm Beach Central's always got some horses and stuff, but you showed last year a resiliency with the defense to stay in the game until the end and give yourself a chance to win. What's different about that team this year? We know what's different about your team. What's different about that team this year?
Well, I guess what's different about them is with Oxbridge closing, they got even more horses. They already have a Keen Dent, which on some lists is the best defensive back in America. And their nose tackle, 55's name's escaping me right now. He's committed to UM. The D tackle they got from Oxbridge is
pretty large.
Number 40 is a bad is a bad man. Their head coach is a defensive guy, and their defense is pretty special. I think our black shirt defense is pretty elite again with some of the things we've done. You know, nobody shut down Atlantic and Plantation this year the way we did.
Nope.
Their defense, they got a great scheme. And they're coming at you from all kinds of angles. They're a 3-4 team that's going to bring all kind of pressure at you. And then they've got really talented secondary playing behind it. So they're going to be a challenge. And Central's an elite football team. But again, so is Atlantic. You know, we were a little frustrated when the district slipped through our hands, but the fact that we beat Plantation by 2 touchdowns and they're the district champs. But I talked to a lot of the guys around us, and I looked at them. I said, listen, we always knew the road to the state playoffs was going through Atlantic and Deerfield at some point.
Sure.
And I said, whether we get them week one or week three, what the hell's the difference? If we're good enough to play with them, we're good enough to play with them. If not, you're going home.
Yeah.
So, you know, we proved last week we were good enough to play with Atlantic. Now we got to come out. And again, and play a perfect game plan. And this Central team is super talented. The only team that beat them all year is Atlantic.
Atlantic.
But if we do what we do and play the way we're capable of, I think that we can give these guys problems also.
Yeah, no, I definitely think it's going to be a great game. There's so many, as I was saying before, Coach, there's so many great second-round games. I try to be anywhere I can. We mentioned Palmetto, and they just moved their game to Thursday at 4 o'clock with Columbus, so that gives us an opportunity to see them on Thursday. But Friday, it's tough to miss that Miami Central Carroll City game. I mean, it's...
I hear you. Palmetto, Columbus sounds like a great game to go to.
Yeah, does yours too. And if you're up in Palm Beach and this Friday, get an opportunity to see Western and Palm Beach Central. I can tell you, it's going to be a great game. It was last year. I think it's going to be outstanding this year. And I'm excited for you guys, Coach. And you guys have defied the odds again and have come up on top and still doing it. And best of luck this week. We'll keep watching your score. You could bet that we'll keep watching your score all Friday night and pulling for you, and best of luck to you.
That means a lot to me, Blue, our boys are going to go out and play hard, and we'll let the chips fall where they may, but you know when Western steps on the field, they're going to give them everything they got. So, good. As always, I appreciate you.
Anytime. Coach Adam Rakovich from Western joining us. They have a really, really big game, but they did last week. And certainly, what we found is a lot of those 5 seeds beat 4 seeds this week because a lot of these districts are stronger. So you get a 5th seed who really could have been a 1st, 2nd, or 3rd, or 4th seed, in any other time that was forced to 5th, and you get a weak 4 seed. And that happened. That happened a lot last week where the 5s were beating the 4. Now things will iron out a little bit, and it's going to be extremely interesting. We'll talk a little bit more in a few minutes with Coach Chris Merritt from Columbus. But we wanted to check in, and I know a lot of the fans over the last couple of weeks have been texting me and sending messages and doing everything they could to get my attention about UCF. And the Knights have the longest win winning streak in the country. And certainly you have to believe that winning these games, no matter if they do it in last-minute fashion or whatever, it's still a win, isn't really boosting the recruiting. And I know that Josh Heupel came aboard. He kept a lot of local coaches, Randy Shannon, a lot of guys who knew the landscape of recruiting. But Jason Beatty, who covers UCF every day, he's with them. He knows exactly what's going on, and especially in the recruiting end, is kind enough to join us this evening. Jason, thanks so much for taking the time.
Hey, thanks for having me on again, Blue. I'm sorry it took so long, but I'm happy to be back.
No, I know you have a schedule, but, you know, and that's it. The fans, whether it be down here, Orlando, whatever, and they always contact me, and they're always wondering, you know, how are we doing? How are we doing in the recruiting? I mean, we've won 22 straight. Is it 22 or 3? What is it now?
22 straight. They went for 23 on Saturday.
So 22 straight, and it's got to parlay into something positive on the recruiting trail. Talk about that and what Josh Heupel has brought to this, to this school in the months that he's been here, as well as keeping some of those really good recruiters like Randy Shannon.
Yeah, keeping Randy Shannon was important, especially in terms of recruiting the state of Florida. I was on last time, and since then they've garnered a few new commits. Still, they haven't gotten as much of success as I personally expected. I think part of that is because majority of the staff is from out of the state of Florida. Randy Shan is the main guy in terms of recruiting for South Florida.
Sure.
Their class is still only third in the American Athletic, which is a little surprising, I think, for most fans when you say that out loud. A team that's won 22 in a row
is
not number one recruiting class in their conference. But they're keeping guys who are local, like recently Raymond Cutts. He was his top school was Clemson, and he ended up picking UCF because he knew he had the ability to come right in and play.
Which is a plus. I mean, which is a huge plus. And I'm sure that people watching like Mackenzie Milton or Dredrick Snelson or any of those other guys that you know, came in and took part, you know, right away, I think that they think they could be in the same situation. So I can understand that.
Oh, no, it's definitely a big factor. When I talk to recruits that have taken official visits or unofficial visits to UCF for the past month or two, one of the biggest things they always tell me is, because I have the ability to play so early on and be successful and win games and win championships, it makes so much sense. And on top of that, you're living in Orlando. I mean, it's such a great location. You have beaches 30 minutes to the east, and Disney 30 minutes to the west, on top of winning, you know?
I mean, it's a very sellable area. The school is far enough to the east where you're not right in the middle of a big city like a lot of them are. So you've got some, you know, you got some country, you got some open spaces out that way, but yet it's the largest school in the state and one of the largest schools in the country. So you take a look at that program and what they have to offer, and I mean, and you're right. I mean, it's a big city type of atmosphere. You get a lot of these people. You're in a market for a media market that's getting bigger and bigger all the time as well. So you get exposure. These kids get exposure. Like this year, they were supposed to play North Carolina, but they did play Pitt, I believe, right? So, So, I mean, they're always going to play those tough games. I saw their schedule down the line. They have a couple of really, really good programs coming up. So it's sellable. I know that everybody wants, Jason, to go into a Power 5 conference, and I'm sure the talk always centers around that. But right now, has there been any more talk about it?
You know, you want to bring up exposure. I mean, when you look at what's happening on Saturday at UCF, I mean, I know you probably know ESPN's College Game Day is coming to campus.
Yes.
For the first time ever. And even if Game Day wasn't coming to campus, I think the exposure would still be incredible. Saturday night's game is on ABC at 8 p.m. It's the primetime spot. So on top of that, you have Game Day coming to campus. So basically Friday, Saturday, it's just going to be a two-day commercial for not only the football team, but also the university as a whole. I mean, you want to talk about exposure. I think Florida State hasn't had Game Day in a few years, and now here we are, UCF has it. I mean, if I told you Game Day would come to UCF after they went 0-12 just a few years ago, you would call me crazy. No way. No way in heck they get that. But here we are. They've won 22 in a row, and the exposure is just incredible for not only the football team, but the brand, the UCF brand. I mean, that's what it's all about, really.
And what Scott what Scott Frost did. I mean, he did a tremendous job in turning that program to the point where, I mean, you know, it's about him now. I mean, you know, about what he did, and now Josh Heupel's starting to pick up on it. And you can see what he's doing in Nebraska coming up, with over the next 2 years he's going to recruit, because every member of that staff was here last year. So
absolutely. I mean, it's going to take some time for Nebraska, but it didn't take too much time for UCF. And in terms, to answer your question originally, in terms of coming into a Power 5 conference, you know, one of the biggest flaws for UCF is, unfortunately, the strength of schedule. I mean, you can compare head-to-head, but the strength of schedule is weak, and that's part of the biggest – that's one of the biggest issues in terms of getting into the college football playoff for UCF. But a lot of – it's funny to see folks on Twitter and fans outside of not only UCF, but outside of the American Athletic, how hard it is for some of these group of five schools to schedule Power 5 schools.
Especially
when you're the best one. I mean, if you're Clemson or Ohio State or Georgia, why would you schedule the best group of five school? Because you're expected to win, and when you lose, it looks really bad. And one of the biggest things people always say, well, just join another conference.
Yeah, but it's not so easy to just do that.
Danny White wants to do that? I mean,
yeah.
Hello. I mean, you remember when the Big 12 was looking to expand, and eventually they just said, no, we don't want to expand. So it's not like UCF is just turning in a resume and going, please accept us. No, the conference itself, the Power Five conferences, whoever is going to do it, will have to want to look to expand in the first place. I mean, you look across the country, there's a lot of Power Five programs that don't really want UCF to join their conference.
I don't blame them.
I don't blame them either. I mean, the most successful group of five team in the past couple of years, and you know, it's a prime location, and it would take away recruiting and a lot of money from other Power Five programs.
Yeah, and not only that, they're really good in other sports like baseball too. So I mean, they're gonna in basketball. They're always, you know.
I attended a football press conference this morning with Josh Heupel as the team prepared for Cincinnati. Right afterwards, I walked across the hall. The men's soccer team got into the NCAA tournament today as a 14 seed in the country, as a 14 seed,
well,
and the first round bye in the NCAA tournament. So it's not only football. I mean, the volleyball is having a heck of a year. They're a top 25 team. They're going to make the NCAA tournament. It's more than just football.
Yeah.
It's more than just basketball. You've got a successful program all around. I mean, when Daniel White says he wants to make a top 25 athletics program, if you look at the strides the program has taken the past 2 to 3 years, I mean, Mackenzie Milton said today, I think, because of the success this team is, this school is having the past couple of years, UCF is going to be around for more than just the next 2-3 years. I mean, they're on their way up. I mean, it's
talking
about the steps they've taken just in the past couple of years, you know.
Yeah. Good stuff. Well, Jason, I appreciate you checking us out again. We'll keep in touch with you. They can follow you. Tell everybody how they can follow you.
Yeah, follow along for the latest of Knights recruiting, and I put some recent articles up on Knights247.com. There were a couple of official visits over the weekend. Obviously, having game day and primetime ABC, there's going to be a lot of news on Knights247.com this coming weekend.
So good stuff.
Pick me up.
And we will. Thanks, Jason.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on,
boys. Anytime. When we come back, we wrap things up. Head coach Chris Merritt from Christopher Columbus is next. The Centene South Florida High School Sports Show with me, Larry Bluestein, cared for by University of Miami Sports Medicine Institute. Recover from your game. Visit uhealthsportsmedicine.com. Welcome back as we take you in our final segment here on South Florida High School Sports.com radio show for a Monday evening. Larry Bluestein along with Danny G. Thanks so much in the last segment to Coach Adam Rakovich from Western and also Jason Beattie from UCF. Now we turn our attention back to football. Big game coming up this week's second round game, and it will be on Thursday afternoon, 4 o'clock at Tropical. Undefeated Christopher Columbus and Miami Palmetto. Head coach of the Christopher Columbus Explorers, Chris Merritt, joins us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time, and congratulations on a great year so far.
Thanks, sorry. I appreciate it.
Early game this week. Obviously, I found out about it today. It's a time change, but certainly something that you guys are prepared for. and certainly I know the fans are excited. Great second round game, and what a tremendous season. Talk about the year. I mean, this has been a really good year. A lot of new kids, new faces, but you guys have come together really well.
Yeah, I tell you, these kids are really resilient. You know, obviously we started off the season with a little bit of the tragedy there where we lost a young man,
yes.
Ari Arteaga, in the car crash. And, you know, the kids have dedicated the season in memory of Ari, and they've played very tough. You know, they've a scrappy group of kids that they just don't give up, and it's been a real joy to coach these kids.
You know, having watched your team and the talent that you guys have on both sides of the ball, and a lot of young kids, too. A lot of young kids have made some contributions for you as well. But this has been kind of a senior leadership. A lot of the guys that have been here the last couple of years, picking up the team, and you always look for that. And I know last year you graduated some crazy amount of people, like 50 people. But this year, that core of seniors has really been beneficial to this team. Talk about that.
Well, I think the seniors this year, the carrot, I guess, for them has been watching the way we ended our season last year at the one-yard line on the right hash. You know, those guys remembered how that felt. They remembered how far we could have or should have gone, and they've taken that motivation in the off season, and they remind each other of it, too. And trust me, we as coaches, we remind them of it as well,
yeah.
You know, about, you know, opportunities lost. And you know, it used to be a few years ago we would talk about just winning the district, and now we're talking bigger and better as the program continued to grow, and you know, we want to make a run. You know, that's our goal.
Yeah, no doubt. Coach Chris Merritt joining us, Christopher Columbus Senior High School. You know, Coach, too, you've had that challenging schedule, and when we had you on in September, we talked about the teams and some of those tremendous games and some of those games that pushed you and games that took you on the road. And you learned a lot about this team because of the fact that you had that challenging schedule, and you got a chance to – and people don't realize when you do go on the road, you form some bond, you have some camaraderies and you find out things about kids that you've never known and vice versa. Talk about that, because I think that with the way this season played out, playing that tough schedule and I think five playoff teams in that mix. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, I'm going to steal a phrase from Max Edwards at Northwestern. You know, he and I talk quite a bit, and Max makes the phrase, you know, iron sharpens iron, and that's what. You know, that's what our season was, especially at the very beginning when we rolled in with Booker T, Carroll City. Of course, Carroll City punched us right in the mouth. You know, we all know about what took place afterwards, that the reason why we got the game back. But still, that was a wake-up call for a lot of us, for a lot of our kids, on how good we were and what we had to get better at and what level we wanted to be at. But I'm going to tell you, besides the opponents that we played, besides Northwestern and Carroll City and Booker T, and you go down the line, Lake Gibson, who was in the state championship game a couple of years ago against Carroll City.
Right.
You know, you look at our O-line, and that was the question mark going into the season. But going against the D-line that we have, just as you know, those are two units that have gotten each other pretty sharp.
Sure.
And it doesn't matter. I've been the head coach now for 18 years at Columbus, and the one mark of all the best teams that we've ever had down the line has been dominant line play. And those kids really have worked hard to get each other better every day,
and like those
early opponents. So.
And, you know, Coach, too, that when you're talking about those D linemen, I mean, they're getting – you have kids that are going places. I mean, obviously with Passmore going to Indiana, and I mean, the Perez kid who is really – I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, to achieve what he's done in the classroom as well as on the football field and as a wrestler, I mean, he's put in some work as well for you.
Yeah. Dylan just committed to West Point. Very happy for him. But you've got Jeremy, you've got Dylan going to West Point. You've got Elijah Roberts, who – was a UM commit there until about 2 weeks ago. You have another young man, Ishmael, that he, you know, he's another BCS offered kid, and you know, they bring it every single day. And when they bring it, you know, they get the deal. Like, trust me, there's no plays off. There's no days off for the offensive line.
No doubt. As you head towards Thursday game, down south football has gotten really, really tough over the last couple of years. South Dade, Southridge, yourself, and Palmetto. Coach Manasco has done a tremendous job. He's pulled off something the last 2 years that a lot of people have, and he's beat Naples in Naples, which is not very easy to do. Talk about Palmetto.
Well, you know, they are very, very well coached. You know, Mike has done a great job. You don't win 20 games by accident in 2 years down here. You know, I know that they're unhappy with the way that their season ended last year after the regular season that they had.
Sure.
You know, this is not your typical draw for us as the number one seed. You know, we pulled up Coral Gables in the first round.
Much improved.
And then we also pulled up Palmetto in round two as the five seed. So, you know, we've got a tough road. Palmetto is very athletic. They're loaded on the skill positions on both sides. We know we have our hands full. A lot of times, you know, we're going to try to do the best we can to hide our weaknesses and take what they give and just not turn the football over. Yep. That'll be our goal.
No doubt. And arguably one of the toughest groups, little regions in 8A. Look at the four teams that are left. I mean, with Southridge and South Dade and yourself and Palmetto, four really, really good football teams. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time. We'll definitely be there on Thursday. You made things a lot easier to see two games this week, but definitely looking forward to it. It's Thursday at Tropical Park, 4 o'clock, Miami Palmetto and Columbus, and expect a really really, really good football game from tremendous teams, well-coached teams. Coach, again, thanks so much.
Thanks, Larry. You have a good night.
Good stuff. Chris Merritt from Columbus, and we'll be down there on Thursday to check out that game. It's going to be a good one. Danny G, thanks so much. Everybody who joined us this evening, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. Go to WQAM.com. You'll be able to hear all the show guests for this evening, Naquan Wright, Coach Adam Rakovich, Jason Beattie, and Coach Chris Merritt. Back with you next week.